Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Does God predetermine who's to be saved and who's to be lost? The debate between Calvinists and Arminians has raged for centuries. Stay with us for a New Testament analysis on who actually makes the call on your salvation and mine. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a series on the inheritance of the redeemed. Listen now as Dr. Lutzer speaks further on the gift of predestination.
You say, well, it was based on foreknowledge. God foreknew who was going to believe. Many people think that, but if you look at the word foreknowledge in the Bible, in the New Testament, it never refers to simply knowing ahead of time. It really means to forelove. Like it says in Amos, you only have I known of all the people of the earth. Of course God knows everyone. Of course God knows all things. But it wasn't based on foreseen faith. It was based on God's choice. You say, well, what was the basis upon which he did the choosing? Good question. The Apostle Paul, struggling with that in Romans chapter 9, gets to that point and basically says, I'm sure he says it kindly, and this is a paraphrase, keep your mouth shut. That's the answer. He says, we're now at the edge of mystery, and God has not revealed that. So we have to accept it. The potter has power over the clay to make one lump to honor, another to dishonor. So we stand in the sovereignty of God, and we allow God to be God, and we don't understand it all. We also know that the choice was personal. He calls his own sheep by name. Do you realize that God didn't learn a single thing about you when you arrived here on the planet Earth and were born? God didn't say, oh, I was wondering what he was going to look like. So sort of a surprise to me that he only weighs 7 pounds. I was thinking that he'd be more than that. Listen, God hasn't found out one thing about you since you arrived that he didn't know in eternity past. And he knew your name before your parents decided what to call you. He knows his sheep by name. Imagine that. You know, to know somebody by name, it's a way of honor. I know that I've disappointed many people because I'm not very good at remembering names. Some of you, God bless you, you've been so kind. I've asked your name many times. Could I just throw in a parenthesis? The reason for that is when I hear a name, I don't remember it. When I see it written, I see it in my mind's eye and I remember it more easily. But God, so what if Pastor Lutzer doesn't know your name? Sorry about that, but you're known by God from the foundation of the world. It was a personal choice. So God chose us in him that we might be blameless, and of course ultimately blameless in Christ, but we have to hurry now. We get to the word predestination, and that of course is there for us. This word predestination occurs 6 times in the New Testament. 4 times it refers to people being predestinated to eternal life. You'll notice it says in verse 5, in love he predestined for us for adoption through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. And that actually shows why God did what he did according to the purpose of his will. To the praise of the gloriousness of his grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. Oh, so much in this passage. Even that phrase, blessed us in the beloved, I wasn't going to say anything about it, but it's the same expression that Gabriel used for Mary. Hail Mary, you have found favor with God. God has graced us, full of grace in the beloved one. But let's look at that word predestination. It means to predetermine, as we've already emphasized, and the fact is that we're predestined to the adoption of sons. Now, in this series of messages, I intend to preach an entire message just on sonship, becoming a son and daughter of God. So I'm going to skip that. We're going to come back to it in a different message. I'm going to hurry on and notice that the word redemption occurs there in verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. How much did God pay to redeem us? It's a slave image here of buying a slave out of the marketplace. How much did God pay? What about all of the opulence of Rome, past and present? What about the pyramids of Egypt, the gold of the pharaohs? And you see the crown jewels in Vienna and also in Munich of all of the great kings and queens. How much did God pay? Well, the Bible says that he paid something else. For we were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That was the price of redemption. Now follow us carefully. It's very important that we understand that God would have never given us his son and had him die on the cross unless God loved us as much as he loved his son. If God loved us any less than he loved his son, he'd have never put his son through that, shedding his blood. But Jesus said, thou hast loved them even as thou hast loved me. And it's that reason that God was willing to pay such a high price. We might argue and say that really he overpaid, but that's God's business. I like what Luther said, and I want you to follow it carefully. Luther said, God loved us not because we are valuable, follow carefully, but we are valuable because God loves us. In other words, even our value, which is so high on God's Dow Jones Industrial Average that he's willing to send his son to shed his precious blood, even our value is conferred to us by God. We do not have it innately. And so here we have the redemption price. By the way, is there any sin in your life that you love more than God after all that God has done in our lives and that he has paid such a high price? The text tells us that he has lavished grace upon us in the Beloved One. And the Beloved One was willing to die on the cross and shed his blood as the redemption price to buy us out of the kingdom of darkness and put us into the kingdom of light. So we are chosen, we are predestined, and then also God wills. Now, the word predestination occurs again in this passage. It goes on to say that God has made known unto us, I'm in verse 9, the mystery of his will according to his purpose, there it is again, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven, things on the earth. Jesus is sometime going to unite. He's going to tie all the loose threads together. And he is going to put all of his enemies under his feet. He is going to rule, and all things are going to be under the feet of Jesus. Now, we don't see that yet, do we? The book of Hebrews points out that that's a day that is coming. And so we have been predestined again. It's using the word according, verse 11, to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. That's as far as we're going today, because the ministry of the Holy Spirit is the next message in this series, and that's the text that we'll be referring to among many others. And so, why all this? We are to be to the praise of his glory. I remember reading that as a boy. In fact, I memorized the book of Ephesians probably 35, 40 years ago or more. Boy, that sounds like a long time, but it goes quickly. And I always thought in my mind, yeah, someday when we're in heaven, we're going to be to the praise of his glory. Yes, of course. But I believe it begins here on earth. Let me simplify your life a little bit, okay? It's not about a lot of things that you're worried about. You may find that you are promoted to the praise of his glory. You may find that you are demoted. Somebody else has taken a place that you know right well you should have, and you're suffering with injustice. Why? To the praise of his glory. You look at some people who have no use for God, and they're living long lives, and you are young, and you love God, and you find out that you've got a disease or some kind of an illness, maybe even a terminal illness. Why that? It's to the praise of his glory. You say, I lost some money in the stock market. Yeah. I know one man who says that he made so many bad investments that if he were to buy a cemetery, he's convinced people would stop dying. Yeah, well, you know, so that's what my life is about. That's what I'm worried about. Uh-uh. You exist to the praise of his glory. It's not about all of these other things that do impinge upon us, and they all have their own sense of importance, but at the end of the day, it's all about God. And listen to this promise. Since we exist according to his glory, and the text talk about the fact that he works all things after the counsel of his own will, I hope that you take out time to read these texts more carefully. It really is all about God, and it says that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer. I hope that you are really enjoying this series of messages, which has just scarcely begun. The series is entitled The Inheritance of the Redeemed, Blessings That Belong to All Who Trust in Christ. And this first message is entitled The Gift of Predestination. We're going to be going on to other gifts that God gives us because they all come to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. And you know, as I think about that phrase that I've been emphasizing, to the praise of his glory, I personally have discovered that it has simplified my life. Because the real issue is not whether or not I get what I want, but rather whether I can accept what God gives me to the praise of his glory, even if it isn't to my own liking. You see, the scripture intends that we be transformed by these deep truths. And some people, as I mentioned last time, sometimes avoid the doctrine of predestination. I personally take delight in it. Of course, there are various understandings of predestination, and I get that. But if we allow God to be God, and we begin to think of his eternal purposes and our role in the midst of those purposes, life begins to take on a much better meaning. We become people who are filled with praise. Pick up the phone, invite someone to listen to Running to Win as we continue this message and other messages intended to bless us.
Believers can be sure that no event in their lives can take place outside of God's knowledge and plan. God has predestined the eternal future for every Christian. Next time on Running to Win, more about this gift. The Inheritance of the Redeemed is an 8-part series we'd like you to have on CD. We'll send it as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.